NASA says the Kepler Space Telescope has confirmed its first ever planet in a habitable zone outside our solar system. Kepler-22b, initially glimpsed in 2009, is the first the U.S. space agency has been able to confirm, making it the latest best potential for a life-sustaining planet. Brother Guy Consolmagno, planetary scientist at the Vatican Observatory, explains although it lies about 600 light-years from Earth, Kepler-22b does have many similarities to our own planet.
This was discovered by the Kepler satellite, which is a telescope in space that was determined that is aimed specifically at a patch of stars, very rich patch of stars, to look for very slight variations in the starlight. So if the starlight dims slightly and then comes back to brightness, and it does it periodically, over and over again, the same amount of dimming at the same period, then you can interpret that as a planet passing between the star and us, basically a planet that happens to be just in our line of sight, so you can see it crossing its star. So Kepler-22 was the number 22 in their long list of possible planets. They've managed to see this dim and come back, dim and come back, dim and come back three times. So they've got the period down. They know how far away the star is. They know what the mass of the star is because of the type of the star. It's very similar to our sun. And the period is about 300 days, which is typical of an Earth year. Plus, by the amount that the star has dimmed with this planet crossing in front of it, they can figure out how big the planet is. And it's only about twice the radius of the Earth. So we've got a star that's like the sun with a planet that's like Earth's size in an orbit that is like Earth's orbit. All of this is telling us that this could be a planet that has conditions, just the right amount of heat, just the right amount of sunlight, to make life possible. And it's the first one that we've really got that matches all the details we're looking for.
In our universe, but we're speaking still about something that is quite far away from home.
It's quite far away or quite close, depending on your point of view. It's 600 light years away. So to send a radio message there, we wouldn't get a reply until 600 years there, 600 years back, you know, the year 3000 and something. So in that sense, it's far away. But it actually is relatively close to us within our own galaxy. And our galaxy is just one of a number of galaxies in the local cluster, which is just one of a number of clusters of galaxies in a universe that is immensely larger than any of that. So it's all a matter of perspective.
As is the discovery itself, insofar as this really has been one of the driving forces behind a lot of the research and a lot of the observation that has been going on recently in the field of astronomy, is the search for a planet that can sustain life.
That's correct. And everybody assumed they'd be there. It would be really scary if we didn't find them. And it's very reassuring that we do. It means that we're not completely off base in our understanding of how the planets and how the stars work.
Also, would you not think also from the point of view of people wanting to be reassured that there is a safe haven, should planet Earth ever arrive at, you know, an implosion, explosion, whatever? Do you think this is also funding to a certain extent?
If that's the case, I'm afraid that people are a little deluded. We're nowhere near capable of even getting human beings from here to Mars, much less from here to another stellar system.
That dream of getting man to another planet to try and see if, you know, man could survive on another planet, to discover other planets, was really the driving force behind space exploration for so long. Has that dream faded somewhat? We've seen a reduction in space in governments paying for space exploration recently, particularly when it comes to the idea of having man in space. But it hasn't actually reduced the amount of work that astronomers are actually doing on planet Earth, has it?
It hasn't reduced the amount of work, and it hasn't reduced the dream that human beings have. Governments tend to be very pragmatic, and astronomy, on the face of it, doesn't seem to be pragmatic. It doesn't make you rich. It doesn't make you powerful. And yet, it makes you more human. I remember when I was living in Africa with the U.S. Peace Corps years ago, I had a little telescope that I'd set up in the most remote parts of Kenya, and everybody in the village would come out to look through the telescope and just be amazed at the stars. This is something that's common to all human beings. This is one of the things that makes us human, to be able to dream about what's up there in the sky. What would it be like to be there? What would we look like from their perspective?
As you said, this is just the discovery of Kepler-22-b is just one of the stars that was being observed by the Kepler telescope. Their work really seems will have no end, will it? I mean, they seem to have an awful lot of work still ahead of them, and perhaps the promise of discovering another star-like planet that's similar to Earth.
This one was the first announced because it happened to be observed for the first time only 3 days after they turned on the telescope and they saw this transit event. You need three events to be sure that you're not just looking at some other glitch, that you're seeing something that really is repeating over and over again. And if you're talking about something that takes a year to orbit, then obviously you need two or more years of operation before you can have a chance to have three events. But I've heard rumors, I can't confirm them yet, that they've found other planets, other Earth-sized planets, and they're not the only people searching. There are Earth-based teams as well. It's the kind of work that can be done by smaller telescopes, by smaller universities, all over the world. It's not just the big spacefaring nations that are able to do this kind of search.
Even the amateur astronomer at home with their own telescope in the back garden?
If the amateur astronomer has a way of recording the signal with the CCD cameras, you have to be a really rather advanced amateur. But there are advanced amateurs who are doing this work, and it can be done that way.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. It's something we need to keep track of, really.
Absolutely. You know, one of the great places observing right now is a telescope north of London that's in a terribly light-polluted area, but it's because the work depends mostly on just very good record-keeping, and which can be done electronically. It's the sort of thing that can be done anywhere.
Fantastic. It goes to show also the actual scope of the work and the mission of an astronomer. It's something that isn't just over one man's lifetime, but over many men's lifetimes or women's lifetimes. And indeed, it's very much a collaborative effort, isn't it?
That's the amazing thing about science in general, and astronomy in particular. The popular idea that the techie, the scientist, is a lone genius doesn't work. All of these things are bits of teamwork. All of this work can only be done because everybody brings his or her own little bit of expertise to make the entire project possible. You never see scientific papers anymore published with just one person. They're always teams.